Next week, the Michigan legislature is in session, and the Republican leaders are talking about adopting a couple of the citizen initiatives headed for the ballot in November. Joining me to talk about that are Ken Sikkema, senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican legislative leader, and Vicki Barnett, the former mayor of Farmington Hills and a former Democratic legislator. So those two proposals are a phased-in $12 minimum wage and paid sick leave. Ken, generally speaking, the Republicans oppose those two proposals. Why would they adopt them?
Well, these are citizen-initiated laws. So after you get the right number of signatures, they go to the legislature. The legislature has a certain amount of time to either adopt them or ignore it or put an alternative on the ballot. The issue here is that should they be adopted by the voters, amending it later is virtually impossible. It takes a three-quarters vote of the legislature to do it. And the argument from Republicans, let's for a moment just kind of put aside the partisan issue, but the argument is legislation like this shouldn't be legislated at the ballot box because of the difficulty of changing it later. I've got sympathy for that argument, but not necessarily specific to these two issues, minimum wage and paid sick time. I just, generally speaking, have never liked legislating at the ballot. But the argument they're making is let's adopt it potentially right now, and then we can amend it with a simple majority vote. Of course, it takes a governor's signature to do it. And that's the sort of philosophical and ideological and policy-oriented argument here.
But there's also political strategy.
No question about it. And the political sort of motivation becomes suspect in an election year where you would argue that these proposals, by being on the ballot, will increase Democratic turnout, and Republicans are already facing headwinds. So you're doing this, and you're having this discussion in an intensely political environment, but it kind of is what it is.
Vicki, I want to ask you about the fact that the legislature is talking about adopting them. But first, I want to ask you, if part of this is to give Democrats less incentive to go vote, how well do you think that strategy would work?
I think it would continue to anger voters. The reason why we have the ability to put legislation on the ballot for the voters to vote on is because we have a government by and for the people. The legislature has been looking at an introduction of bills for paid sick leave for the last several years and has failed to act on it. The public finds this to be appalling, at least the hundreds of thousands of people who sign these petitions, and have decided that since the legislature won't act, the people should. And that's the logic behind voter-driven initiatives. If we look at what the legislature is not taking up and what the people want to get done, these two particular bills make a lot of sense. And so while you can say they're being put on the ballot to drive Democratic turnout, they're put on the ballot to address the needs of the people that the legislature, elected by them, refuses to deal with. So if the legislature wants to play these games, and they've played them before, the people will continue to put things on the ballot and get more and more incensed. I want to go back to the emergency manager law for just a minute. The emergency manager law was beefed up in 2011 after Governor Snyder took office and was put into effect, and the voters didn't like it. And the voters went to the polls and they wanted to repeal that law. And they successfully repealed it in 2012, only to have a legislature refused to listen to the people and turn around in 2013 and pass a slightly modified version of the same bill, thereby eliminating the voice of the people who went to the polls and who paid for this petition drive. So I think the people would see this the same way.
Let me ask you both something. At this point, there are people working for minimum wage in Michigan, which is higher than the federal minimum wage, we should say. But it costs taxpayers because the business isn't paying them enough to support their families. And if the minimum wage were increased, wouldn't that mean fewer people would have to be subsidized by taxpayer-supported welfare programs? Isn't that the goal of lawmakers, both Republican and Democrat, Ken?
Well, but there's a lot of studies that suggest if you raise the minimum wage, people at the lower end of the economic scale get laid off because small businesses can't afford it. And you got competing studies whether or not it helps low-income people or it hurts low-income people. But here's one of the issues with this particular proposal. It eliminates something called the tip credit. And I would argue you shouldn't do that because by eliminating this sort of complicated tip credit mechanism, you potentially lower wages for people that thrive on tips, waiters and waitresses, and do well, and you increase labor costs for restaurant employers. But that's just an example of why I think it's a bad idea to be doing these things at the ballot box.
Vicki?
Well, again, I think when citizens keep requesting that the legislature act on certain issues to give them relief or help or assistance, and the legislature fails, they're not doing the people's business. So the people take it upon themselves to pass petitions around to put these things on the ballot for a vote. When it comes to minimum wage, I have a very different view from the Republican philosophy. I don't think businesses are job creators. I think people with extra money to spend and disposable income create jobs by spending money and therefore driving up demand for goods and services, forcing businesses to hire people to keep up with that demand. So I think that it is a shame that we have people working full-time in this state, making only $18,000 a year and trying to raise a family on that. And that's what we're talking about with the minimum wage at $9 and a quarter. So I think if you work full-time, you should be able to pay your bills, take care of your family, and not be on government assistance. So I am one of those that believe that we should raise the minimum wage. However, Ken is right. In this one, it's a little more complicated because it also raises the wages of restaurant workers, which have a different minimum wage scale at this time. And some restaurant workers like that, and others really hate it because it may drive down their overall income. I don't know what the answer is, but certainly we need to do something to break up the growing income inequality in this country, which is really hurting people at the low end of the economic scale.
Let me talk about a different topic altogether. A really interesting thing that's happened is this voting rights group that's connected with a big Democratic super PAC is asking clerks and election officials all across the state for copies of every ballot, every provisional ballot, the ballot and envelope of absentee ballots that were mailed in. Ken, what's going on here?
Well, it's a little hard to say. This group that has made a request under the Freedom of Information Act for all of these ballots and related information up to this point has been somewhat secret. And there's some delicious irony, I guess, in asking for public information but not being transparent about who you are. But if it's a legitimate research request that wants to look at the integrity of the Michigan electoral system, so be it. It doesn't come at a very good time for the clerks. You know, they're busy getting ready for the November election. But I would argue that if the group's willing to be transparent, disclose exactly who they are, and they want it for research purposes, maybe after the election, all these clerks can comply with it. But it takes a lot of effort and costs a lot of money, and the group's going to have to pay for it.
Vicki, the Detroit News reports this group is really kind of unnerved, county clerks who are trying to prepare for the elections. Who's the money behind this, and what do they want?
Well, the money behind it is Priorities USA Foundation, and they're examining access to the polls across the country, supposedly. So let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. Why they went to a third party and hid behind the name Emily, I don't know, and I think that's kind of suspect. And if I were a clerk and all of a sudden received a massive FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, for voter data information, absentee ballot envelopes, and signatures, and I don't know who this Emily is, I would equally be concerned. If this is truly for legitimate research purposes, then the FOIA request should go ahead after the November election so that clerks aren't torn between managing the current election cycle and dealing with a massive FOIA request. So on that, I totally agree with Ken. If there's a legitimate reason to do the research on this, then they should work out a deal and a compromise to get all this data after the election. But again, it's going to be very, very expensive. Priorities USA is going to have to come up with the money to put this together.
Yeah, and with FOIA costs in this state, since they're very, very high often, that could be millions of dollars, it looks like. That is Vicki Barnett. She's a former Democratic legislator. We also heard from Ken Sikkema, a former Republican legislator. Hey, have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, Lester.